Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 22nd of October. We're going to be talking about healthcare in Italy. As you know, we have been looking at healthcare and how various countries in the world deal with healthcare for their citizens. We've talked about so many countries. Today it is Italy. The World Health Organization says France may have the highest rated healthcare system in the world. Italy is second among 191 countries. It's called generally a decentralized version of the British National Health Service, and this is in respect to health status, fairness in financial contribution, and responsiveness to people's expectations of the health system. The United States, which spends more per person on health care than any other country, was ranked 37th last among industrialized countries. Italians, though, aren't very happy with the quality of their care, believing more patient choice would improve the quality. And we will be talking about what makes the Italian health care system so appealing, but why are many Italians concerned about the health care system. Joining us this hour is Professor Vittorio Maio. He is associate professor in the Department of Health Policy at the School of Population Health at the Thomas Jefferson University. And he has spent time actually getting educated in Italy and has worked in the country as well. So he knows the ins and outs of the Italian healthcare system. We'll be welcoming phone calls from you. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you'd like to send us an email, you are very welcome to do that. And that address is talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Professor Maio, thank you so much for being with us this hour. Hi.
Thank you so much, Kathleen, for having me today.
Yeah, our great pleasure. Did you grow up in Italy?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Oh. Yes, I grew up in Italy. Actually, I came to the United States in 10 years ago, actually, and I'm currently working here at Thomas Jefferson University. My funding resources are coming mostly from Italy, so I go back and forth many times per year. Actually, I'm leaving this Saturday. I have a grant from the Italian government, so I'm working with them to try to improve the health in Italy. Just to rely on what I'm learning here in the United States.
Uh-huh. Great. Well, you have an intimate understanding, then, of the Italian healthcare system.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. You want me to say something about how the healthcare system is organized in Italy?
Give us a general overview, please.
Yes. Let's start with saying that Italy has a national health service, as you mentioned before, based upon three important principles, universalism, comprehensiveness, and solidarity in funding. Generally speaking, the Italian healthcare system is what is called a single-payer system. So the government, through taxation, pays of the healthcare for every citizen. Actually, now we are paying also for citizens coming from the UA that, by chance, are in Italy as well.
Mm-hmm.
So before going much farther on that sense, let me give you explain to you and to listeners some components of the Italian population, the Italian population characteristics, and the general culture and approach of the country concerning health, because that will certainly help along the conversation to understand better why we have this type of national system.
Mm-hmm.
Generally speaking, Italy has, for those who are not familiar with, a population of approximately 60 million inhabitants, residing in a land which is three quarters of the California area. So you may understand that we are really densely populated, and so that puts some effort on the healthcare system in terms of infrastructures and how to reach people in the right way. The number of population is quite stable right now, thanks to the flux of immigrants. Indeed, unfortunately, Italy has one of the lowest total fertility rates in the world. It counts around 1.2 births per woman, compared in the United States, 2.1. So we are. That's really a great problem, compounded by the aging of the population. So it will going to force the system in the future. Why? Because the elderly population, as you know, are those that absorb the most healthcare resources. And since we have this low fertility rate, the proportion of elderly in Italy is growing tremendously. So just to give you an understanding, in Italy, approximately 20% right now of the population is 65 years or older, compared to approximately 14% of what you have in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the situation will get even worse in the future because there are some estimates that will say that the elderly will represent approximately 27% of the Italian population in 2030, with a really high old-to-young ratio. So that means that since the system is financed by general taxation, a reduction of the active labor force certainly could have a major impact
sure.
on the resources available to the system as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's maybe just to give you an overview and understanding of the population. And I wanted to emphasize a little bit more about the culture and what led to the actual system, the current system in Italy. Italy is a really young democracy. It's a little more than 60 years old. And when the fathers, after the Second World War, tried to set up the tone and wrote the Constitution, they actually included health as one of the fundamental components. There is a specific article in the Italian Constitution, Article 32, that specifically says something about health. And I would like you to read it to you because
sure.
That's my own translation, actually. So it says that the Republic protects the health status both as an individual's fundamental right and on behalf of the community and guarantees free health care and treatment to the indigents.
Hmm.
So what the fathers of the Constitution wanted to emphasize is that health is a value for the country. I will tell you that I never thought not to have health care coverage in all my life in Italy. And no one of the Italians think about that. So
mm-hmm.
it's embedded in our culture to have a sense that the Republic, so the government, will protect us towards any type of illnesses or any type of problems related to health.
And Professor Mayo, why is that embedded in Italian culture and not in American culture?
Well, that's a very hard question to answer. I can give you my perception, and maybe the historians will let you know much better about that. But my perception, and that's my perception when I came to the United States, is that this country holds on the principle of an individual development. So you have somehow to engage yourself in improving, and which is an important concept, and I guess that makes the United States unique, and increase the power of the country and the ability of individuals to develop. However, on the other side, there is less concept of solidarity and sharing of the wealth. So that's why that makes different the United States from Italy. In our country, the concept of solidarity, the concept of sharing wealth, the concept of having general benefits coming from the development of society is embedded in our culture. And I guess that was what the fathers wanted to emphasize in the Constitution regarding health. That's what actually reflects the concept of health in our Constitution. And in order to realize that, after the publication of the Constitution, they wanted to realize this concept, it was quite difficult. Actually, at the beginning, the Italian politician chose a system quite similar to what you find in Germany, in France, in Switzerland. So what is called a social insurance model, the famous Bismarck model. So in other words, it's not that different. It was not that different what you find here concerning insurance based upon employment. That was a system that was not able to guarantee the concept of solidarity and healthcare free and treatment to all the indigents. I do remember, I can narrate you an episode. I do remember my father was a teacher, and when I was a little kid, 8 or 9, I had had a surgery, and I spent 2 or 3 nights in the hospital. I was scared to death. So my father had an insurance from the public service, and it was not that bad, but actually it was not, you know, that great. So I could not be in a room by myself. So my father had to spend money on having me on one single room so my mom could stay with me for the intern 3 nights, 2 or 3 nights I spent there. So you may realize that our system was really far away from the concept of solidarity and democracy on right. having services that could be equal distributed to the population. Mm-hmm. So that was led in the process in 1978 to the birth of the actual healthcare system, which is, as I said before, a single-payer system based upon taxation. And I wanted to emphasize to you that there are 6 principles that are the foundation grounded this system. And one is human dignity. So every individual has to be treated equally and have the same rights, regardless of personal characteristics and role in the society. Protection. The individual has to be protected with appropriate preventive measures. So the health services will guarantee what you call public health and prevention, and other services that certainly will lead to prevent further illnesses. Need. Everybody has access to health care and available resources to meet their primary health care needs. Solidarity. These resources have to be allocated to support groups of people, individuals, clinically and epidemiologically important concepts. Effectiveness. So resources have to go towards effective services. So services have to be grounded, has to be evidence-based. And finally, equity. I wanted to read you exactly the translation. Any individual must have access to the healthcare system with no differentiation or discrimination among citizens, at no point, and no barrier at the point of use. So these are the 6 principles that actually constitute right now our system in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And that will guarantee that as a citizen, as an individual, you feel protected, that regardless of what happened to you, the system will help you in any form, regardless of your condition or your status or your economic and social status or lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's make the system quite unique, and that's why, as you mentioned before, maybe we were ranked by the WHO 2nd in the world because of the concept of fairness.
Right. What about the taxation, Professor? How many taxes are involved here, and is it expensive?
Well, to be honest with you, you actually do not see much this taxation in the sense that the taxation is embedded. If you are, so, say, you have you are an employee, the taxation would be taken out from your paycheck, and most of the contribution coming also from your employer.
Mm-hmm.
But the contribution from the single individual is, let's say, minimal. It will not go over 2-3%. And certainly there are other forms of taxation that are embedded in different ways, especially from the business side, to collect all this money at the central government that in turn will be distributed to each of the 20 regions in order to pay services for the population they have. So I guess what I'm saying is that since the taxation is related to income, you may understand this system is quite progressive. In other words, the more you gain and the more you contribute for the services that the healthcare services, the healthcare system will provide to the population. So those who are really not make much will not perceive any of this. And actually, in the concept of solidarity, those who actually make the most will contribute the most to the benefit of it and the wealth of the general population.
Interesting. I have heard that we're talking about these 20 different regions. I think there are 20. That the healthcare services, there might be some disparity among services when you look at the North and you look at the South, the North being a little bit more wealthy, the South not as wealthy. Is that true?
Well, actually, it holds true. I mean, we went through a series of transformation. One of the general problems was how to make accountable the regions for the services they provided. And right now, this shared responsibility between the national government and the region to provide services. That means also the regions have the ability to raise money from their population to provide services. Actually, we are becoming, let's say, a model that resembles somehow the interrelationship between the state and the federal government here concerning Medicaid, to some extent.
I see.
In other words, there is a basic level of care that has to be provided everywhere, in any type of region. In any region, this care has to be provided. However, then the regions may decide by themselves which additional care will provide to the population. And that's why you said before, there's right now some disparities between the northern regions, which are richer, and the southern regions are poorer. So let's say the northern region are being more aggressive to take to take this autonomy that the federal, the central government gave them in order to provide care to their population, while the southern regions were historically have been poor economically speaking. They don't have enough resources actually to do that. So it is creating some level of disparity. Actually, if you go through the level of satisfaction overall, in general, the Italian population is enough satisfied. Let's say when I say enough, because I guess Italians are. One of the biggest complainer in the world. We tend to complain about everything. So I guess we're never satisfied about anything, including us. So I say that we are enough satisfied of the system. However, the people residing in the north of the country are much, much more satisfied than the people residing in the south.
So what would you be getting in the north that you wouldn't get in the south?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I guess the region there spend more on infrastructure, tend to really renew and restructure things at a faster pace. And also there are additional services that are provided. You may understand I'm talking about not the general prevention, which is quite uniform in the entire country. I'm talking about how the care is delivered, the infrastructure available to individuals, you know, how many, at the district level, how many, services are offered, how much these services are close to the population, where the population resides. In that sense, certainly there is a disparity between the North and the South.
And there are attempts being made, or at least conversations, about making it more equitable?
Well, that's a very interesting point. We touch politics here. And yes, there are attempts in trying to do that. However, the main attempt so far has been to the central government somehow reserve some funding resources available only to the region in the south, to compensate for the money they cannot generate from their population. However, even this is not fair, in the long term, because that will not give the region the opportunity actually to grow and to develop and to try to find their own autonomy in order to accomplish the task. So I don't know how to say, but I guess the central government cannot pamper indefinitely these regions towards health. However, that will in the end contradict the concept of, again, equity and solidarity. So it's really a complex matter that has been not solved yet, and it's actually one of the main point of current discussion about health in Italy.
We're welcoming phone calls, and here's our number. Healthcare in Italy is our topic the first hour today. Our number is 800-486-8655, and our guest is Professor Vittorio Maio, Research Assistant Professor in the Department of Health Policy of Jefferson Medical College, where he is responsible for managing and developing health policy research studies. He is from Italy. He spent several years working in Italy in the pharmaceutical field, and he is goes back and forth all the time, leaving again this Saturday. So he's explaining the Italian healthcare system to us. We have a couple lines open if you'd like to join the conversation, so take them right now. The email, talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We go to phone calls now, and we start with Rick from La Crosse. Hi, Rick.
Hey, good morning. Buongiorno. Why don't you ask the, the doctor could talk more about la solidarietà and, you know, dal punto di vista degli italiani, what is solidarity? How is it that in Italy they have solidarity when the Italians are famous for being menefreghisti, you know? Okay, if you could talk about that a little bit.
When the Italians, you're going to have to do that in English, that last one. They're famous for being what?
Oh, the disengaged.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Professor Vittorio?
Well, I guess we are going towards a conversation concerning a philosophical approach to life rather than healthcare. But... I guess in order to answer this question fairly, I would say that it is true that there are some frictions and concern about the ability to really to apply the concept of solidarity in healthcare. I wouldn't say that Italians are disengaged concerning health. Italian citizens are free to go everywhere they want to be treated. In other words, you are not confined to receive services in the region you reside. If there is a place, somewhere places that you feel and you perceive and you research about that will treat your illness in a better way, you are free to go, regardless you reside in a southern region. And that actually is a phenomenon that is happening extensively. Now, I understand the concept that Italian seems to be sometimes disengaged and individualistic in some sense, but on concerning health, I guess that's one topic in which the concept would not apply. So I responded in some common sense to your question.
What about coverage of dental, eyes, and drugs?
Yeah, you touch an important point. So let me start with drugs, which is I'm very familiar. As you mentioned, I'm a pharmacist by training, so I've been working in that sense for many years. Concerning drugs, drugs are heavily regulated from the central government. There is a national formulary, so drugs has to go through the central government to be approved to be in the national formulary. Not all drugs in the national formulary, however, are reimbursed. So, in other words, are not available for free or with a minimal charge to patients. So that means that some drugs are not paid for, and if people want to buy them, they need to spend out-of-pocket money. To be honest with you, however, there are really few important drugs, minimally zero, I would say, that are not reimbursed by the Italian healthcare system whatsoever. The system filters what is what they say cost-effective or not. And in these terms, you, as you know, you're talking in the United States right now about comparative effectiveness, the need to understand the value of any intervention, but especially about drugs. So
right.
we do have some sort of filter in that sense already embedded within the Italian healthcare system. Concerning dental and vision care, however, especially dental, I would say that the coverage through the Italian healthcare system is insufficient. That's one area where actually people tend to spend money out of pocket and go to dentists and receive care because that what is provided is not sufficient. On the eye side, I would say that there are some limitations as well, but not as much as on the dental services.
Thanks, Rick, for your call. We go to Jody from Milwaukee. Hi, Jody.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Jody.
Hi. When we were in Italy, with talking with our tour guide and everything, she had said at that time that their tax rate was roughly 50%, and everyone on our bus just went, oh, my God. And she said, but everything we do get with our tax base, she said, healthcare, education. And she also pointed out the first 2 years after you have a baby, she said the government still gives you a check because they want you to stay at home with that baby. She said, so our country does not have what your country has in quite a vast amount. And she had basically said, you know, you don't see daycare facilities or nursing homes like I did in your country. She said those are just things that were very family-focused and things like that, and the government supports that. And that was one of my comments. The other question was, is everywhere we went where we have backyards in the USA, these people didn't have backyards. Their entire backyard were gardens. And we would ask after supper, we asked our tour guide one night, where is everybody going? Is there a festival going on? And she said, oh, no, over here we walk after dinner. She said, our country's very focused on wellness. She said, you guys, she said, you only go to the doctor. She said, by the time you're so sick, she said, we're very focused on wellness, staying healthy, being healthy. She said, you guys don't go till you're so sick that it takes twice as long, she said, and twice as much money to get better. And I just wanted to hear your comments on that.
Okay.
Because after we visited there, I thought, wow, if I ever had to live any other place other than the U.S., that's where I'd want to be.
Well, you touch many points. Let's see if I am able to answer properly to all of them. Well, first of all, 50% of taxation, it might be possible if you, by chance, got in touch with very rich people. I would say the general taxation is much lower, around 20-25%, which is not far away from what you pay in general, on average, in this country. Certainly, on average, we pay more taxes than people in the United States. But as you said at the beginning in your talk, it's exactly the concept of what you receive back. I'm not talking about just health care, but other type of services, including education. As you may know, in Italy, education is mostly, I would say, essentially public. That means that you pay nothing to get to school, to any type of school, and you don't have differentiation in education from one place to another because of the way the revenue goes to the school. And the same for higher education, like university. We pay a minimal amount of supplemental taxation to go to the university. As you said, which is very important, so there is a social construct within health and health care. So, again, maternity. Yes, maternity, we were shocked when we came to the United States, realizing that you got a baby and you don't have time afterwards to spend with your baby, even having the possibility to extend your maternity leave or even to have a paternity leave, because we do have in Italy as well. So I guess this is when you think about healthcare as well as you think about other concepts in a society, it depends upon how the society wants to take care of itself. What's your values? What do you want to get from living together? So I sense that what we have in Italy is an approach to try to spread out the wealth to everyone. That comes with some prices as well. Concerning, again, also approaching healthcare from an individual standpoint, I wanted to emphasize one important thing. We are heavily, the healthcare system is very rooted on primary care. We do have general practitioners. We have family doctors that are represent the gatekeeper of the system. We do have the right to have a family doctor from birth. Actually, from birth, we have the right to have a pediatrician and afterwards a family doctor, which is very unique in the world. So since Italians don't move that much, don't consider, I mean, just one exception. but don't move that much, you may find people that have the same doctor for their entire life. So that doctor will know that person so profoundly that will be able not to treat just diseases, but also to have a relation, very close relationship.
Yes.
Which is the WHO is actually emphasizing in one of the latest reports the fact that primary care has to be central in any country. And you, unfortunately, you don't have that sense in the United States because the way the system is organized does not emphasize the role of primary care. So your doctor in Italy knows you very well, knows your family, actually knows more, knows your environment. And actually that will help in order to treat better your diseases.
Just a couple follow-ups on this.
Sure.
So if you have a child, it's true that you can stay home for 2 years and you do receive some kind of check from the government to do that?
Well, let's clarify this. I think this is a little bit an exaggeration. I'm not really familiar with exact law, but you can stay to extend 3-6 months your stay home as a mother, and then you can also extend further. You can still receive a paycheck, but that would be cut from your.
Right.
But what is important to emphasize that you keep maintaining your job.
Mm.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
So you even if you wanted to extend even more, and your paycheck would be totally eliminated, meaning you have zero income, still you can keep your job. That's for true, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And the cost, you said there was a supplemental taxation to attend the university. Can you clarify that for me? If you're going to be a doctor in Italy, what are your expenses to get your education?
Well, it's a general taxation for any type of university you wanted to attend. I would say that nothing compared to what you pay in the United States, please. I would say right now, in order for you to understand the magnitude of this supplemental taxation, each student may pay per year on average around, let's say, $3,000.
Really?
Yes, per year. So on average.
Mm-hmm. All right, Judy, thanks so much for your call. We go to Gary from Eagle River. Hi, Gary.
Good morning, Kathleen, and to your guest. I'm especially interested in hearing from a pharmacist. I did numbers of years of pharmacoeconomic research for a number of international pharmaceutical firms, the pharmacoeconomics is checking on the cost effectiveness, which drugs, which do you get the biggest bang for the buck for. And the thing that always struck me is how I was doing this as a consultant, and my clients always were interested specifically in what the tests for cost effectiveness were in places like Italy and France and England and Germany and Canada and Australia and so forth, but for the most part didn't care a hoot about those same kinds of numbers for this country, because even in places like HMOs and managed care, for the most part, they didn't care what those cost-effectiveness numbers were. We knew that they would put the drugs on formulary and they would be... the patients and doctors would be able to prescribe and get those drugs. The only organization in the United States that we really, really paid attention to was the Veterans Administration. And the Veterans Administration, the last time I looked, was getting something in the vicinity of 47% discount on the drugs from the average wholesale price, which was by far the best value. No HMO, the largest insurance company, Cigna and so forth, nobody was getting discounts like that. And we knew that the VA had PharmDs, clinical pharmacists, that spent the time looking at this cost-effectiveness data. And when they decided that a certain drug was the best buy, they could shift market share as much as 85% in less than 2 months. And we can't do that now. Even Medicare PharmD doesn't do that. And I'm just I'm curious to know whether or not your guest feels in any way using this cost-effectiveness data and limiting some of the drugs or encouraging the use of other more effective ones has decreased the efficacy of the medical system and the use of drugs in Italy at all.
Professor Mayo.
Well, Gary, I think you touched an important point, and I'm keen on that side because of my background. Let's put it this way. So the central government in Italy, let me explain a little bit better how the system works. In the central government in Italy, so they decide, they negotiate also with the pharmaceutical industry the price for any drug enters into the formulary, into the national formulary. This negotiation is based upon a number of factors, including what is called reference pricing. In other words, if you industry enters with it's called a Me Too drug, so the same drug in an existing class, the price has to be somehow adjusted with the existing prices of other drugs in the same class. So that will really lower the cost of drugs. So, however, there are certain types of drugs, innovative ones. I'm talking about cancer drugs, biologics right now, that are really expensive, and there is no whatsoever way to weigh them with others because there are no comparisons. So based upon the evidence, certainly this drug will enter the national formulary. That doesn't mean that it will be reimbursed or used in the regions. Actually, in any region, there is also a committee, a regional committee, that will decide which drugs are into the regional formulary, and they will be available to the public. Not only that, but regions will decide how to deliver these drugs to individuals. So there are some certain type of drugs, expensive ones, cancer drugs, biologics, as I said before, that will not be available to the public through the outpatient pharmacies. They will be directly distributed by hospital or district or other type of public services to the population in order to really monitor the use of them, and also because the public has, by law, the ability to get a big chunk of discount from the overall price that the industry will put forward into the national formulary. Actually, 50% of the cost will be deducted. So, and also, a certain type of drug cannot be prescribed by all physicians. We for certain type of drugs, we are heavily regulated. So certain type of drugs can be prescribed only by specific physicians located in hospitals with a certain type of specialties. That will lead also to have a monitor activities on how these drugs are used by the population. Did I answer your question in the way also we try to use the evidence in order to make sure that drugs are still available to a population but are not used freely off-label by any type of physicians?
Do you feel that in any way, in your just from your gut feeling, that
yes,
the quality of care in Italy has been diminished because of this evidence-based approach?
I would say no in any event. I mean, let's put it this way, Gary. I have to, as a researcher, I take into account the overarching picture, the big picture. Certainly, you may hear complaints from any or from an individual that will not, the person did not receive that kind of drug, new drug, the newest drug, the newer cancer drug because it was not yet in the formulary, or it was in the formulary, it was not reimbursed. You hear this type of complaints even in the UK, as you may be aware of NICE, the organization that actually leads the world in the sense of comparative effectiveness. But I'm thinking as a researcher of the overarching picture. So I don't see any whatsoever diminishing of the ability of the system to provide care for the large population in that sense. And also, I have to add something more. We have to, any type of country has to think that there are not unlimited resources to provide care to the population. So you may want to think that your blanket will cover your feet or your head. You have to decide which side you want to cover. So I guess that's my point is that we have a public health program in Italy, you know, pretty heavy. So we have free vaccination for all children, free vaccination for the elderly for any type of flu. Right now, there's in place, you may imagine, a gigantic system to try to vaccinate each individual that could be affected by the swine for free. And also, we have cancer screening for free everywhere. I'm talking about cervical cancer, breast cancer, colorectal cancer. So that would really lead to the system to spend an enormous amount of resources. The question you have to put yourself, you want to have this kind of coverage, overarching coverage for the entire population, or you want to respond somehow to the individual request for a new drug, a new cancer drug that it's not really evidence-based because the evidence is shaking, is limited, and you don't even know, you know, what the extent of life expenses this person can achieve. 2 weeks more, 3 weeks more. I mean, from a researcher standpoint, from a policymaker standpoint, I guess it would be better to think at an entire population. What you can provide to entire population is just to the individual person.
It's a whole different philosophy. Thank you very much, Gary, for your call. We'll take more phone calls in a moment. A couple lines are open. Healthcare in Italy is the topic this hour. The World Health Organization says this country is second among 191 countries in respect to health status, fairness in financial contribution, and responsiveness to people's expectations of the health system. Our guest is Professor Vittorio Maio. He's a research assistant professor in the Department of Health Policy of Jefferson Medical College, where he manages and develops health policy research studies. He grew up in Italy and goes back and forth to the country quite frequently and was educated in Italy as well. Two more of your calls in a moment. And the email, don't forget about that. It's here if you want to use it. That's talk@WPR.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up the second hour of our program, you'd never think that a book about death and the afterlife could be as funny as this one is, but then you think about who the authors of this book are. The book is Heidegger and a Hippo Walk Through Those Pearly Gates, using philosophy and jokes to explore life, death, the afterlife, and everything in between. Thomas Cathcart and Daniel Klein will be joining us. We first had them on when they wrote the book, Plato and a Platypus Walk into a Bar. All right, back to phone calls. Jim from Dodgeville. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Kathy. Thanks for taking my phone call. Mm-hmm. I'd like to ask the professor a couple questions. In this country, which is supposed to be a very religious country, and it is in a lot of ways, you'll see postings in the newspaper and on the radio for a benefit for a particular individual that needs a couple $100,000 to get a surgical operation for heart or cancer. And if he doesn't come up with that money, basically he doesn't get the surgery. And I'm wondering if that happens in Italy. And I'm talking about major procedures now. The second part of the question is we have a tremendous amount of individuals in this country that have to file bankruptcy to protect their home, their farm, and their businesses because of major illnesses late in life. Do you have any of that happen in your country?
Well, Jim, thank you so much for your two questions. Let's try to answer in order. I mean, yes, it may happen that in Italy there is not the ability to provide services for a specific individual with a really rare disease. It may happen, not that frequently, but it may happen that the individual has to go somewhere else, places, especially come to the United States, where there are some level of technology available that can try to treat that kind of disease. The cost associated with this type of expensive trip would be covered by the national healthcare system. So the region and the central government will be activating in order to provide enough resources for the person to go in that specific. Certainly, has to be really something that cannot be treated locally or in any place in Italy. I'm talking, you, as I guess, you talk about important things. So we do have this kind of concept of solidarity to provide services for individuals, unfortunately, with severe disease, untreatable locally. And I guess your second question was related to, maybe I lost.
Fundraising events that we have for people to get, you know, car washes, et cetera.
No, I guess that does not exist. First of all, I used to say to my kids, if I get really sick, I hope not, but if it has happened, you know, please put me on the airplane and get back to Italy immediately.
Really?
Yes, because I guess maybe I can complain sometimes about the quality or inefficiency of some services, but certainly somebody's going to take care of me. Regardless of my economic status. It doesn't happen that you go bankrupt because you don't have money or resources to get the care you need. Yes, it does not exist.
That's quite a statement. Send me back to Italy, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
I guess so.
Yeah. Thank you very much for the call. We go next to Bud. Hi, Bud.
Hello.
Hi, Bud. Go right ahead.
One thing you haven't mentioned is, and I know you don't have a tort system, but you have some sort of legal system. As you know, in this country, it's a very litigious society, and it's a major contributor to the cost of health care. It's also a cost of having doctors bail out of the profession. How do you handle that in Italy? And what is the impact of litigation on health care costs there, and how do you curb it if you do? And getting back to one of the earlier callers, you talked about the philosophy of life versus health care. Well, they are intertwined. As you said, this country is based on individual effort and hard work, and that's one of the major reasons we're so prosperous, whereas your country is based on the group or socialism, which is a far left aspect in this country. How do you weigh those two? And good health care in an unproductive society, is that really what you want? That's all.
What? I mean, I don't know how much time I had to answer these two questions. Maybe the first one is much easier than the second one. It will require maybe another 2 hours to try
Sorry,
to disentangle your philosophical question, which I like the most. But let's try to answer the first one. For malpractice, yes, I know very well about what malpractice costs in this country. We do have litigation as well. But I guess what differentiates Italy from the United States is the way the litigation is set up. It's less than on a personal side. So a person receiving a treatment that was not properly done can certainly sue the system. But I guess the approach is less punitive, or less negative, has negative connotation that in the United States. So the approach is try to understand what happened, and certainly there will be some rewarding on the person who was now fairly treated, but that doesn't mean that an individual physician will necessarily go, will be laid off or go to jail in that sense. I mean, I'm talking on average, there are some sort of exceptions as well, but the problem does not exist, is not perceived the way it is in the United States.
We have about 30 seconds left. I'm sorry.
Yes, I can answer 30 seconds on the second question. I would just to emphasize that we do not have socialism. Please try not to use this word. We do have solidarity. Socialism is another concept that will require maybe 10 hours of discussion in that sense.
Thank you so much for being with us. You were most informative and quite delightful. Thank you, Professor Mayo.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Yeah, our guest this hour, Professor Vittorio Mayo. He is Research Associate Assistant Professor in the Department of Health Policy of Jefferson Medical College, and is from Italy and schooled in Italy. And he says if he gets really sick, he tells his children to put him on a plane and send him to Italy, which I thought was quite something. We will continue our healthcare series. We're talking about all kinds of countries in the world and in programs in the United States, so it will carry on. Thanks to Jalema Noel and Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour, Rob Schroeder for on-air production. We'll return following the news.